Carroll Show. The first word from the Seahawks head coach every Monday at 9:30 with Brock and Saul. Presented by the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook and Top Fitness.
Coach, how are we?
Whoa. Well, what a night that was, huh? It was an amazing football game. There was a lot going on. There was a lot of guys making a lot of things happen at a really high level last night. And offenses were flying, you know, on both sides. It was really something. Unfortunately, it was a terrible game to lose because it was such a great game to win. It was such a good game to win. And it was there. It was right. You know, we were there. I mean, take it all the way to the last drive. There's, you know, we got time. And we knew we could do that. And we'd done it. And what was the difference between that and Detroit or, you know, any of the other games that have happened or at the end of the half, you know, and all that. So it was there for us. And these games are so tough and so contested that, you know, you kind of almost have to hope that you got a chance to win on the last play of the game, you know, or last drive. And that's what it comes to. And it's so close so often. That's what that was last night. And unfortunately, we needed to make 2 yards on 3rd and 2 and 4th and 2, and we couldn't make either one of them. It comes all the way down to that to me. We needed to convert those two plays, and then we get the next sequence, and then we'll go down and win the game, you know. And so I know it's really hard on you guys. It's hard. It's hard on us. And I was really fired up about the way we played last night. I was jacked about the game and the matchups. All of the other element that was in the game, too, was just part of it. And it was crazy, and it was bad on both sides, and that's no place to go for me. You know, I'm not going to officiate.
I guess I was a little surprised to hear you say that. Not because it wasn't a great game in the back and forth, but, you know, I think of a Pete Carroll team, and I think of the defense and the defensive identity and the hitting and all of that, and that's not that kind of game. I mean, there's 70-something points scored in that game, 80-something points scored in that game. I guess it surprised me that some of the positivity comes out of that, given that nature of that game.
Yeah, just because that was what the game was. Well, you know, Danny was trying to stop him on the other side, too. You know, and they got a great group, and it was just an offensive night. Everybody was able to do stuff, and it was just one of those times. It was a shootout, and, you know, that's not the way I want it to be. That's not the way I pictured it at all. But you got to play the game that's happening, and when that game was wild, and it was open, wide open, and it there was great turns in the evening and the opportunities and all of that. You know, I don't know how you predict me to be, but I'm playing the game, and that game was that game, and we needed to find every way we could to keep battling, and we were fiercely participating in that one, and it's a heartbreaker because we could have won that game last night, and it was there to be had, and we just had to find the way to finish it one way or the other, and we weren't quite able to do that.
As you can imagine, Pete, Geno been at the center of a lot of conversation the last couple weeks. How did you feel like he responded last night?
Geno?
Yeah,
I thought he played a fantastic game. I thought he was going the whole time. One decision that we didn't want to give that guy a chance to get the ball over there on the sidelines, you know, and we gave him a freaking interception. He earned it. It was a great play and all that, but that was one decision that we wish didn't happen. But we wound up challenging that guy well throughout the night, and Bland's a fantastic football player, having a season of his life, and unfortunately we gave him that little juice that we didn't need to give him. But other than that, I thought Geno was working his tail off, and he was making throws and making plays and coming through and playing tough, and he ran well, and, you know, the touchdown run that he made was a great decision, a perfect decision. We were kind of looking forward to that maybe happening. No, I'm not talking. Let me say this too. I'm not talking to cover up for Geno. You think I might be covering him? I thought he played a terrific football game, and he was fierce and competitive, and kept bouncing back, giving us a chance.
What did he and Shane work on last week? It was sort of interesting. There were, what was it? Al Michael said it last night. 7 straight quarters or whatever it was without a touchdown, and then you come out last night and score 5 of them. So, I mean, really impressive offensive performance in the first 3 quarters.
There's other guys playing. There's teams playing on the other side, and these teams are freaking good.
But so is Dallas. I mean, Dallas has a good defense, and you guys were able to get to them. What was the conversation like leading up to this game? What was worked on, improved on, et cetera?
The conversation wasn't different than it's been in that, you know, we go to work, we try to get our stuff done, we have our principles and approaches that we go through, the whole mechanism of the format. We were able to execute that last week. We had a full week of practice the way we need to work, and we just handled it really well. I told you, we did not. We failed at the process taking it. We took a step back and tried to take the heat down on our team, and we didn't respond well. I mean, that's something that I haven't seen from our guys. But that's this team. This team isn't the same as last team. They're different, and we had to go through a Thursday night to figure it out. And so what happened was we went back to the basics, we went back to the principles, and we knew we had to be wide open. We had to go for it, and Gino was up for it. Gino got to throw the ball all week long. You know, he was hurt the week before, and you know, there was a lot of questions about what was going to happen going in. We were unsure, but yet hopeful. And as it got to this week, we just put it back and cranked it back up. And we have a young enough team that they will go. We can take them places, and they can also go places. Like we went south on the first Thursday game because we didn't practice them hard enough during a short week to keep them in it properly. And so that's my failure. I screwed that up. And I didn't see it coming. I didn't know that would happen. Now I know. But this week, it was imminent that we went right back to the basics of it. And we have a real routine that demands those guys have to be in on it, have to be focused, or they get their butt kicked in practice by the other guys because the other guys are going. And that showed you how they responded. And that's why. You want to know why? That's why. That's why we play like that. And we're capable of playing like that. We're capable of playing better than that, too. Unfortunately, we just didn't quite get enough.
Did Jackson Smith and Jigba make his presence known on the entire NFL landscape last night?
Yeah, I don't know. You guys call stuff like that. I don't know. I don't have that perspective. I thought he played a terrific football game, and he's been playing terrific. When has he not? You know, taken to the opportunities and the challenges that we put on him. He's a fantastic competitor. He's a great focuser because he's got great confidence. Totally believes in himself. Knows he can do it. No question about. You know, give me a chance and I'll make the play. And you know, that's why he was fiercely competing for that catch too. You know, and he said, you know that you guys know well enough. Maybe Mike, I don't know if you know this, but you know when you caught the ball, and he knew he caught the football. You know, and you know when whether you made the catch or not, and he knew he did. It's like when I listen to Tyler talk about stuff. I was in bounds. I made the catch. I made the play. You should believe what he says. They know better. And anyways, but that's just set up that crazy sequence that happened there, which was freaking. I thought that was electric. You know, our guys just battled one play after the next, and wound up getting the touchdown, put us ahead at halftime, which was really, that was a pretty cool moment.
How about DK's night?
Boy, he did great. He was on it, took to their matchups, executed perfectly on the big touchdown play. That was such a great route. I don't know if you noticed, but the guy's leverage was way inside, and he was taking away the route that was called, and he beat him anyway. And he beat him with explosion and the discipline of setting himself up and getting in position to make that break, and then the ball was perfect. I mean, it was a perfect football play. As perfect as you can make it. He ran faster than anybody's ever run, and, you know, and all the rest. You know, it was just a glorious night. I was so excited for DK to get to run like that, so you get to see him, you know, because we get to see him all the time like that, but you don't get to see that, you know, that marvelous ability that he has show up like it did. It was exciting.
What does DK do best? I mean, one of the questions we've had this year is, I think somebody had the note last week that until last night, the target rate or completion rate when targeting DK was just barely above 50%, which is crazy given what a good receiver he is and all the skills he has. What are the things he does best?
Oh, he's a power route runner. I mean, he runs through his breaks. When you get him on the move, he's really dynamic. It's hard. He's 235 pounds. Sometimes for some of the breaks for him, the real difficult when you're really speeding and you got to get back out of it. That's a little bit more of a challenge for him. But when he's on the move, the crossing routes, the crossover routes where he doesn't have to just come to a stop and then get going again, he's just dynamic. He's threatening as anybody can be in football, and that's what we try to feature with him.
Pete, where do you feel the run game is?
Not as good as it needs to be. We stayed with it. You know, we ran the things that we wanted to run last night to try to force the issues and allow us to throw off of that. And so that part of it was okay. But we weren't, you know, we no breakouts, you know, to speak of, and not enough space. And so it wasn't as good as it needs to be.
Is that the running backs? Is that the line? What is that?
Well,
I guess what I'm saying is, did Charbonnet get what was there?
No, I Zach ran hard. He ran tough. He wasn't able to get loose. A couple times we got stumbled in the very first play of the game. You know, we got our feet caught up, and that was about another 7 or 8 yards in that play. But he does come downhill really well, and we got him slashing. And later in the third quarter, whenever it was, I thought we started to hit stuff pretty good. But it was a shootout, and we had to stay with it.
Hey, can we walk through a couple of these fourth down plays, Pete? As you can imagine, the last one's getting a lot of conversation, and we don't always see the whole picture, and there's kind of a bunch of debate, but can you walk through the first two fourth downs, the run play that ultimately gets stopped, and then the corner route to Jackson?
Tell me, get me back into it. It's a little bit of a blur to me right now here.
The first was the run to the left side. I think Charbonnet got caught up. It looked like a missed block by the left tackle, but that's not. I'm basing that based on what they said on TV.
No, if you notice, the guy was almost a wide nine technique, and he slanted from there, and Charles couldn't imagine that the guy would be coming down into his B gap, and so he targeted it a wider. He targeted it like you kind of think he should, but it wasn't. It needed to be more conservative in his angle to catch the guy in case he came down, and he penetrated and made the play in the backfield.
The one to Jackson.
It was a funky look. It's not a traditional alignment right there. It was a little bit out of whack, and Charles couldn't interpret that could even happen, and he got had right there.
I think the other one was just, bringing more than maybe could block, and Gino tried to throw the corner out early to Jackson and get it out of his hand in time, and just maybe a difference in angle or anticipation.
Yeah. We could have seen the front more clearly, and we didn't, and so we squeezed down on the threat from the inside pass rusher, and the pressure showed up, and he just had to chuck it and get the ball out, and he was anticipating that he would have a hair more time there. He didn't think that was going to happen like that. And okay. Again, that was just identifying at the moment we could have done that cleaner.
And then the last one is the one that everyone's seemingly talking about. Even I think Kirk Herbstreit joined us last hour and talked about the play. I don't think DJ was supposed to come over and block Micah Parsons, correct?
No, that was also they loaded it up inside, and we squeezed it and had to beat it. The way we determined to protect it, which was not the way to do it, we should have opened up and we should have blocked out there with the tackle, and we didn't get that done. He scanned across. They fooled us a little bit with the look. He scanned across and he saw Micah. That's where he went to him. But that I wish we would have blocked that with Abe right there.
So help me a little bit. Just listening to you sort of go through those three, from my amateur perspective, it sounds like on all three of them, things weren't necessarily read properly at the line of scrimmage.
We had to read the front and then direct it so that we could take care of business. And in the moment, I'm not sure because we haven't talked about this. We haven't met as a staff or haven't talked to the players about this yet. But I'm not sure if it was the call that pulled Abe down, or Abe just flashed and saw the threat and came down and left the.
So I got to ask: is that on the quarterback? Is that something the quarterback needs to be able to determine?
Basically, the center handles all that stuff, and then Gino works with him. And if Gino sees something, then he and Evan have to figure it out. And so it's basically handled by the center. He starts the count and the point, and then we work from there. Gino has the ability to override him whenever he needs to.
So I don't want to get you.
Those are very difficult plays. And I think back, I wish there's a couple things we could have done differently that would have given us a chance to get the ball out on a rhythm rather than to protect it. You know what I mean, Brock? You can beat it with the call rather than try to protect it and count it all the way out. We can get the ball out sooner there. We just didn't do it.
Brock will occasionally tell me, that's why you can't throw anything new at a Tom Brady or a Peyton Manning or some of these all-time great quarterbacks. Are those the type of things he's talking about, those types of plays where the all-time greats know what to do and how to get out of those spots?
They screw up too, but because they get fooled, and sometimes it isn't what it looks like it is, and guys do things. Just like what happened on the first one, the guy lines up outside the edge of the tight end and beats us all the way down to the B gap. That generally doesn't happen, so things happen sometimes, and that's the game. That's how it goes. Sometimes you win those, sometimes you don't. But the guys that have been around the longest and the most, they sense what's happening. more so than even what they see. They can sense it from the action of the player, the way he's leaning, the way he's breathing heavy, whatever. They have a sense about it. Gino's got great sense. Gino does see things. He does know. He's been around. He hasn't had as much play time as Brady, but he's had a ton of experience, and so he generally makes those decisions really well.
Pete, how do you play pass defense in 2023 in the NFL?
It's hard, man. These guys are good now. That's a good team now. They're playing really well. They played a terrific game last night, and you know, we took them all the way to it. But the catcher, CeeDee Lamb, was terrific. He is a fantastic football player. I caught him in warmups doing a couple things, making a couple grabs, one-handed grabs that were unusually adept. And I just he captured me right off the bat. This is who this guy is, you know. And he plays the game at a really high level, and you better be on it or he's going to get you. Just the run he makes on the little fly sweep he makes, you know, that's a fantastic run. The cut he makes on that play and to get extra yards, he's going to get extra often, and he's doing it. You know, he's got 100 catches or something, what he's got already. But he is one of the players that makes a difference in the game. And Dak is playing with him well. He's really playing great football, and he's confident. The touchdown pass that they threw, the first one, that was a ridiculous rip that he threw in there. And we had a couple different ways to handle that, but he just ripped it. And he makes the play on it, made it look easy. Touchdown there, you know, they're going. So the level of play, you know, Brock, to me is just continues to elevate, and it's because we see so much of it happen in the college level too. The level of play is just so high. Guys are just so much. We've evolved the game so far. It's like watching basketball too. Watch college basketball right now. The game looks like the NBA used to look. The players are so far along because they're so exposed, and they know well, and they've been taught well, and they have plenty of opportunity. It's just at a tremendously high level, and I think you're observing that.
This might seem a little counterintuitive given some of the frustration with the judgment calls made last night by the officials, but should we give the officials a little more judgment to be able to determine whether or not pass interference should be a spot foul or not?
I absolutely agree with that. I absolutely agree. And I've seen these guys for a million years. They can make good decisions because they see a ton of football too. They watch the game. They get it. And they can make the declarative moment call that wasn't a factor, even though there was some this, some that, some contact, some little pinch on the shirt or the jersey or something like that. I can tell that didn't have a factor on that play, and I don't have to call that. That's what needs to happen. Otherwise, the game, everybody's waiting for the result of is the flag getting thrown or not. That's not the way we're supposed to
play football. Could we give them the opportunity to call either a 10-yard pass interference or a spot foul pass interference?
I've not thought about that. I don't know. That's an interesting discussion.
Like, I don't mind some, all right, he touched him. It's a penalty. But does it need to be a 50-yard penalty?
Well, that's kind of what the legal contacting, you know, is giving them a way to handle that. But, you know, I'm not here to bash guys. I ain't bashing officials. They're trying. They're hounded by the responsibility almost to try and figure it out. And they're calling things that are just seem so incidental that aren't part of the game. Doesn't have to flow like that. The game is not flowing the way you'd like it to flow. Let's let this thing play and let them go and let them and you know, no harm, no foul kind of thing. That is really. I trust that these guys can do it. I've watched them for years. They used to make calls like that. It was different. Now that they're just under so much scrutiny, and it's difficult for them. And they're showing you why. They're showing you the result. That was messy. That was really messy. And it's not just the numbers of calls. It's all of the things that happen, and they happen in everybody's games. We're not unique in this. It just felt difficult last night.
That said, you got a lot invested in this secondary, and to give up that many yards and points, how do you think this defense and specifically the secondary is playing right now?
Well, last night was marred by the penalties, you know, and those are freebies of 40-yard catches that they didn't catch. They didn't throw it. They didn't catch it. They get the ball 45 yards down the field, and that's giving them stuff that makes it look it makes it too easy for them, and so we have to stay out of that. You know, that interaction, we got to clean it up so that we can't get called on stuff. And you have to be really poised and controlled in the moment. You saw Tariq on the first deep ball. He just wasn't quite sure. He couldn't find the football. So he just kind of tried to make it not happen, make the completion. He didn't know if the ball was right on the money or not. It wasn't, you know, and he could have handled that differently. But, you know, he just didn't catch the vision of it. So there's just things that we just have to keep working on to make it better. But we did it to them. They did it to us. That's kind of what that night was. And, you know, maybe I have to find a way to understand that a little differently than you guys do. I have to find a way to rationalize how this works and how we can adapt and how we can catch up to the moments differently than you guys do. And that's okay. We don't have to see things the same. But it was a very challenging night, and we needed a couple things here and there. We needed a couple here and there. And that's how tight this game was, and it was a magnificent competitive night.
Pete, we're at 6-6 now, and obviously San Fran and Philly on the horizon here. What was the response in the locker room, the plane ride home, a little couple extra days here to get healthy before this stretch?
We're pissed. You know, we know how hard it is. Hey, you want to get ready for a football season, get tough now. This ain't going to be easy. The next couple steps here along the way here are just as difficult as they can be, but this doesn't tell the story of the season. What tells the story of the season? How this thing ends, and when you get to the finish and how we wrap this thing up. We got to get some games here. We almost picked one off last night. We got to pick one off this next week or the next week, and we got to keep on going. And when this team makes it in the playoffs, which you may think I'm freaking crazy to be telling you that, when this team makes it in the playoffs, we will be ready. We will have been through all of it. We will have seen everything you can see. We will have toughed our way through it. We will have learned the lessons. We'll be as ready as you could possibly get. I kind of like to see what that's going to be like. I'm kind of looking forward to that.
What can you do to get this team to that point?
Well, we got to do a little bit better here, a little bit better there. We got to be cleaner. We got to match up really well. We got to use our guys well. We got to find our health. We're not bad health-wise. We need to see Kenny back on the field. We love to get him back out there so he and Zach can 1-2 punch it. That's when we're at our best, and fight our way through it and give ourselves a chance. When it comes down to that last little stretch in the fourth quarter, each one of these weeks coming up, we got to be ready to win it.
Let's just quickly go through some of those. You mentioned Kenny. Where's he at? Where's Charbonnet at? Where is Jordan Brooks at as of this morning?
I'm not sure of the nature of the ankle sprain, but he sprained his ankle, Jordan Brooks. So I don't know. It just depends. He was hobbling. He couldn't go. He tried. He was going to go, and he couldn't do it. Kenny's got an oblique. That's a very intricate injury for a fantastic athlete like he is. He's got to get through it, but he's got 10 more days here before he play, I think. Is that right? So he's got a big span here that he might be able to make it back. He's still sensitive now. He still feels it. So he's not over that yet. But we'll keep our fingers crossed on that one. Zach banged his knee on the turf and hit it. So it wasn't. This is not an intricate injury. It's a bruise. And so he was pumped up a little crazy last night. So it's going to be a while. But he's got time too.
And Abe came out of it okay.
Who was that?
Abe.
Abe felt pretty good about it. He knew he wasn't quite, all there, but he felt good about the game. I had a chance to visit with him last night on the plane. He was kind of excited that, he made it through it, and now he can go. We subbed him quite a bit. He's a big man out there. He looked good. He looked good. He didn't do everything right, but he did good, and it was a nice game for him to get back into action.
Yeah, Brock's in, he's in Vegas for the Husky game tonight and for his game tomorrow, which is why he sounds like he's
sound like you're in a barrel. Yeah.
It's a barrel, bathroom, Motel 6, whatever you want to call it. It's a little of all
bad
of those
visual
things. Coach, you get the mini bye here, and then another really tough one, San Francisco again down in their building. I'm sure you'll be up for it.
Just as tough as it's going to get, it's going to make us tougher. So we got to get ready. Let's go gear up. You're with us. Gear it up. It ain't going to be easy, Brock. Here we go.
We'll talk to you after that one, and we'll be back. Brock will be anyway, Monday morning. Until then, Brock, the hay.
Oh, it's in the barn.
See you, everybody.